It is a blessing to see you this morning. I hope the blessing is mutual. There was a few amen. I don't know about the others. Well, this coming 5 weeks, the month of May has 5 weeks, and we have allotted these weeks for evangelism. That would be our theme for the month of May. And in relation to that, our topic is taken from Acts chapter 16. Would you please turn your Bibles back to our text? Acts chapter 16. We will just be going through from verse 6 to 15 this morning. And in here, we will see portion or part of the second missionary journey of Apostle Paul. And in this particular portion of Scripture, we could see the movements of God and His direction and His direct revelation to Apostle Paul when he and his team were called to go to a particular place, which is Macedonia at that point in time. That is the course of actions that was given by the Lord in this particular portion of Scripture, and this is what we will look at this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you for, we know how much important is the Word of God in our lives as your people, and how much you have given to us your care and love in order for us to grow spiritually. And we pray that you will help us, that we may understand your word, that we may learn from your word, that your word will become coming alive in our lives. As your children, please help your servant to be able for him to speak and to impart your truth. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. Looking at the first point in our bulletin, which is God's divine, oh, thank you for the lights, divine guidance in missions. Allow me to read at least the first few verses. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go in Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them again. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Now, after he had seen vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now, we see these passages of Scripture are quite interesting. And at the same time, we will see unusual turn of events. Apostle Paul and his companions. If you're going to read chapter 15, you will realize that it was Apostle Paul and Silas. And then when Apostle Paul, in chapter 16, we see that Timothy, young Timothy, was added in the group. And if you're going to pay attention closely on verse 10, when it says, now after he had seen the vision, after Apostle Paul seen the vision, that seems to be the implication, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia. Now, who is that we? Remember that the book of Acts was written by none other than Luke. So we see at least Apostle Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Luke. All these men were prevented by the Holy Spirit twice in preaching the gospel in Asia, or it is the modern Turkey today. Instead, the Holy Spirit directed these men to go to Troas, but when they get there, they didn't do anything yet. They were there to wait for further instruction from the Lord. And eventually, there was this revelation from God, and they ended up to the northern part of Greece, the modern Greece, which is Macedonia during that period of time. The Bible is silent as to why they were not given the permission to preach on the other places, in Asia, in Mysia, in Phrygia, in Galatia. It doesn't very specific. It doesn't come very specific. It was kind of silent as to the specific reasons, but we see clear implications and at the same time principles in missions. Number one, it tells us the sovereign plan and guidance of God in regards to His workers' effort. You see, the spread of the gospel is always under the guidance of God. The way it advances is not coming from the will of man, but from the will of God. It is not from the apostle, no matter what, or how great evangelist they were, or missionary they were, or someone who could share the gospel effectively. It is not from their, although it, they give very, in this demanding endeavor, they give their effort, but it is not their effort that advances the gospel, although it is very helpful. It is always God's plan. And at the same time, it is always God's timing. God is always in control as to when and the where. And that is the case here. Well, people from Asia or Bithynia, they also need the gospel. But God says, it is not yet time for them. Not yet time for them. Now, the congregation may be wondering, did they ever get there? Yes, they did. Eventually, the gospel get there. We see that in chapter 18. We see that in chapter 19. And you know what? Even Apostle Peter was instrumental. We see that in 1 Peter chapter 1. So, it did get there, but not at that point in time, because we have to understand that God's timing is always necessary in His missions. That we need to be careful. We know that it is important to share the gospel to everyone and everywhere. But we cannot just go everywhere and then to everyone, because it is important to recognize the timing of God. Number three, God leads us to the right places, and God also takes us away from the wrong places. It is interesting that Apostle Paul and his team, they were coming from the east. And then they tried to go to the south. They wanted to spread the gospel going to the south. And the Lord's Spirit says, no, you can't go there. And then they tried to go to the north. And the Lord says, no, you can't go there again. So by way of elimination, if you are coming from the east, you were already in the east, and then you went south, and you can't go, and then you went up to the north, and you can't go again, then that leaves us another, only one direction, and that it is going to the west. But they did not presume that the Lord is telling them to go to the west. It seems logical to go to the west. But you know, brethren and friends, one of the principles in mission is that logic and common sense can be very helpful, but it is never the basis in missions. Never to be the basis in missions. God in His sovereign will gives His agenda and His direction at His terms and in His time. And the book of Acts exhibits from chapter 1 all the way to chapter 28, we see how the Lord guided His people, His missionaries, His workers in spreading the gospel. At times, He would use a direct revelation. We see that many times. Chapter 1 and even a few times, the Lord used special messengers. It could be angels. It could be from an intense prayer meeting. It could be a direct revelation from the very word of God. It could be from his supernatural actions. It could be through the apostles' teachings. It could be from the prompting of the Holy Spirit. It could be an encounter directly coming from the risen Lord, as it was when he dealt with Apostle Paul. It could be through visions. It could be through miraculous relocation. You know, someone has said that 90% of God's will is already revealed in the Bible. Now, I don't know if it is true or not, but the truth remains that God will never lack in anything as far as His guidance is concerned, whether it is a day-to-day life or whether it is in missions. I am greatly encouraged and blessed by the testimony of Apostle Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Luke, the way they were able to handle the turn of events. I was not able to see disappointments, or did we see complaints from this man in our text. You know, even there seems to be disappointment every now and then in our lives, but in the end, and a lot of times, you and I realize that it was God's appointed time. It was not meant for disappointment, it was a divine appointment. You know, when God closes one door, He opens another door. We just have to be patient because there is what we call God's timing. And please take a look at verse 9. One more time. Verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." We see here that Apostle Paul had a vision in which he saw a man from Macedonia and urging him, "Please come and help us. Please tell us the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ." And this is not the only time when there was revelations in such manner. We see that in chapter 9, chapter 10, chapter 18, and many other chapters in the book of Acts and outside the book of Acts. Now, the man of Macedonia represents the gospel going to Europe for the very first time. So we see here how God is continuously widening His mission agenda. It is always worldwide. That's why the Bible says gospel is always universal. God's love is always universal. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believe in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. The wonderful thing is that our text tells us that when Apostle Paul received this revelation from God, him and the man were ready at once. It says they left immediately. It says, "Immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord called us to teach and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ." That's what it says on verse 10. They were always prepared. They were always watchful of what the Lord is telling them to do next. It is wonderful to see that during this missionary journey of Apostle Paul, there was also a mentoring and discipleship program happening within his missionary journey. Because young Timothy, a young, not so long believer at that point in time, not mean to say that he's not spiritual, he came with Paul, and Paul was giving him an OJT. On-the-job training. Apostle Paul was also making the most of every opportunity. He is also telling that it is not only mission that is important. If you go in missions, that is one side. If you go to spread the gospel to missions, gospel is important, but at the second portion of that is discipleship. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ at the Great Commission, it says, go, therefore, and preach the gospel. And then at the same time, it says, make disciples. Discipleship is very important. And then take a look on verse 11. It says, therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and next day came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is foremost city of the part of Macedonia, a colony, and we were staying in that city for some days. So they finally arrived to the place where God wanted them to be. It was at Philippi where they kind of stopped at some point. Now, where did Philippi come from? It came from Philip II. Who is Philip II? He is the father of Alexander the Great. We know who Alexander the Great is. We learn from him in history. And who is he? He was a man who traveled from the west, going to the east to conquer the world and to infuse the Greek influence and heritage and greatness. But at this point in time, in Acts chapter 16, we see another great man by the name of Apostle Paul coming from the reverse. He's coming from the east, going to the west to conquer the world, not for himself, not for Greece, not for Rome, not for Israel, but for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there was a great response in the mission that they entered into. Let's take a look at verse 13 to 15. This is the second part. God's divine guidance in conversion. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city of, or to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made. And we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to hear the things as spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful or believer of the Lord Jesus Christ, come to my house and stay. So she persuaded us. Now, in this portion of Scripture, it appears that there was no synagogue in Philippi. There was the prayer meeting being held outside by the riverbank. You see, this is a common practice during that time. They typically gathered by the riverbank when there was no local synagogue. This also implies and it tells us that there is a small Jewish community in that area. Because in order to have one synagogue, it would require 10 men or 10 family. So therefore, it tells us there's only a handful of Jewish community. But you see, there are many ways to look at the situation. You could look at it negatively. You could look at it as an insignificant ministry or a small ministry because there's a small number of people. You could look at it as a, because it is small, it is a close and intimate fellowship because there's only a handful of them. And you could see it as a great potential. Regardless of how you may want to look at it or how one will take the matter, but as for Apostle Paul and the men that were with him, it was an answered prayer to them. It was also something that he didn't expect to happen, but it happened to be that way because it is a divine appointment. On verse 9, we see that Apostle Paul saw in the vision a man who was asking him to come and help us and share with us the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to which he responded immediately on verse 10. But when he got there, what did he saw? He saw a what? A woman. You know, in mission, And it also tells us the good traits of Apostle Paul is this, that he never allowed gender. He never allowed circumstances. He never allowed cultural differences to keep him from preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He presented the gospel to everyone and everywhere. And in all circumstances. And in here we see that he had the time to share the gospel to Lydia, an influential businesswoman. You know, it is common knowledge that Apostle Paul is a great Pharisee. That is his one of his heritage. He was a Pharisee and a strict one, as he says. You know, during that time, when a Pharisee wakes up, he has this prayer, as per their tradition, that he would thank God that he is not a woman, that he would thank God that he was not a slave, that he would thank God that he is not a Gentile. You know, God's ways is always different from us. And what had happened in Acts chapter 16, the way the Lord answered his prayers. Well, this is what happened. The first convert is a woman. And then on the second part of chapter 16, he met and shared the gospel to a slave girl. And then in the end, when he was in jail, he met the guy, the jailer, who is a Gentile. And this all three came to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshiped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Apostle Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, on verse 15, she begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful, to be believer of the Lord, come to my house and stay. We could see at least three wonderful things about Lydia in these two verses alone. We see that she has a ripe heart. She was ready for the gospel. She heard the gospel and she responded to it. When Apostle Paul came, it was only harvest time. You know, sometimes there could be many hindrances that will come along the way when you present the gospel. But all these hindrances seems to be, and walls were broken down in our story. They say, and even the Bible says so in Matthew chapter 19, that it is hard for a wealthy person to come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's not in our story. Because we see that Lydia was a seller of purple, which means that she is selling a designer clothing. And only the rich and the royal could wear purple at that time. She was a very rich woman, very influential, and yet there is this thirst and hunger in her heart for the Word of God. It is common knowledge that there are things in life which is important, but you cannot buy it with your money. You can buy a nice house. You can buy a mansion. But you can never buy a home. You can buy a clock, a grandfather, the big one. But you can never buy time. When it is your time to go, there you go. You can buy a book. But you cannot buy intellect. You can buy medicine, but you can never buy health. You can buy insurance, but you can never buy safety. You can buy religion, but you can never buy salvation. You can buy a good life, but you can never buy eternal life. You can buy the best cross or the crucifix on the planet Earth, but you can never buy a Savior. You can buy a passport and have all the visa. You can go all over the world many times in your life. You can buy that, but you can never buy heaven. But we see here that Lydia had a ripe heart, and her prosperity did not stand away. In fact, it became a channel of blessing, as we read it on verse 15. We see it that the Lord opened her heart. Now, have you ever tried in sharing the gospel to someone whose heart is so close that you are always rejected? You see, you can always open your Bible 100 and million times to anyone, but it is only God who can open the heart of men. Yes, there is the divine side of salvation, and there is also the human side of salvation that you and I need to respond to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ when it is spoken to us, just like the testimony of Lydia in our text. She recognizes her need, the need of a Savior. And then on verse 15, she says, and she pleaded, she persuaded the Apostle Paul and his team. She says, come to my house. Make my house as your home base. Stay in my house. It is not only that Lydia has a ripe heart ready for the harvest. It's not only that she has a responsive heart when the Lord opened her knowledge of understanding and her heart for the gospel. She also has a generous heart. You see, Apostle Paul opened the scriptures, and then the Lord opened the heart of Lydia, and then in turn, Lydia opened not only her heart, but her house for the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the home should be a what? A salvation sanctuary. Start with the parents. If you are married, mom and dad, always open your homes for Bible study or cell groups. You try your best to have devotional with your children and prayer time with your children. The more you do this, the greater chance for your children to come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. As far as I know and as far as I could see, when parents are intentional in opening their home for devotion for the children and prayer for children and cell group and Bible study and all of those ministry or function on the same, as far as I know and as far as I could see, if there are offsprings at home, by the time they reach the age of 12, they would come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not patented. There are cases that it's not happening. But as far as I know, take a look at the children in our church. Take a look and see for yourself the children that you know that are going to the church the same as ours. And those parents who would share the gospel to their children at their young age. By the time they reach age 10 or age 12, they would give their heart to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen to that? It is not guaranteed, but you give them greater opportunity not only to understand the gospel, but to accept the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know it is the work of God, but we need to be obedient to the work of God to make a difference. How about you? That is the question for you this morning. Does your heart beat for the Lord and His kingdom? Aggressive and intentional for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Like that of Apostle Paul, are you a good herald of the gospel? Are you open to God's leading? Are you open? Would you open your house for Bible study or cell group? Or even, would you open your house when there is a birthday celebration? I know it's expensive. But you know what? We cannot set apart the monetary and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. As they say, you cannot go around when there is no round. Mission needs supply and resources. But the point is this. The point is that, let's say you spend $300, but if there is one person who would come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is all worth it. There was a guy who visited us last Sunday, and he was just blessed by how the Lord blessed our church, and he's even concerned about our needs in the church. And we were discussing, and I was telling him, you know how it all started? One house open for the Bible, and then the rest is God's history. One time, it could be that time. But it's important for us to take that time. To take that, it's not even the chance. The wonderful privilege of opening your house for the Lord. Are you willing? That is the question. It is always God's desire and plan to send the light to this dark world. And Jesus Christ says, you are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men, so that they may know who Jesus Christ is, and they may give praise to the Father. That is our calling. Before the Lord Jesus Christ ascended back to heaven, one commanded, he says, you will be my witnesses, beginning where you are and to the ends of the world. Are you willing? Are you ready? Let's pray. Father, thank you for reminding us that you are our God who calls us to be heralds, to be teachers and preachers, to be evangelists of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is our prayer that you will always help us to respond to your calling accordingly. I pray that there might be someone in the congregation who needs direction as far as missions is concerned, or as far as sharing the gospel is concerned, or that this person is praying for salvation of loved ones or friends. Lord, I pray that even we as a church will always be ready and intentional in sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ until He comes again. In Jesus' name.